Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Let's go, Raider Nation, and welcome to Just Pod Baby with your host, Evan Grote. Just Pod Baby is part of the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, brought to you by SB Nation. Give me a follow on Twitter at egrote5 and check us out at silverandblackpride.com for all the latest news involving your Oakland Raiders, or should I say the Las Vegas Raiders now. We are back after a week off, and there's plenty going on and plenty to talk about. It's going to be just you and me tonight for the next 30 to 40 minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Now, since last time you heard from me, the Raiders have gone on to lose two more games. That makes four straight now, 42-21 to the Titans and 20-16 to the Jaguars, both games at home, I might add. And I want to start with last week's second half collapse in what was the final game ever played in Oakland at the Coliseum. It was a dominant first half. The passing offense was on point. Carr was on fire. He threw for 221 yards and a touchdown in the first half. The defense was playing with a lot of aggression, a lot of emotion. Really playing well in all phases of the game. The defense held Jacksonville to two first downs in the half and only a field goal. If there was one aspect, though, of the first half that I could be a little bit critical with, it would be that in addition to that opening touchdown that they had, the 40-yard pass from Carr to Tyrell Williams, there were three other times that the offense made trips into the red zone, and on all three of those occasions, it resulted in field goals. And this is something that I don't think has been discussed enough in the days, after the game. It didn't get brought up enough, in my opinion. I think it was a major role in the game, I should say. Far too many points were left out there on the field, and it proved to be very costly. The second half was a completely different story, and this is something that we have now been seeing since week 12. This is a trend now. This is a trend. And again, since week 12, the Raiders have been outscored in the second half 78-9, scoring just one touchdown in that time, and that came in the second half against the Chiefs. And of course, that was the issue again in this game. 17 unanswered points by the Jaguars. The defense did come out and force a three and out on the Jaguars' first possession of the second half, but then allowed a field goal, a touchdown, and a touchdown, and on the following three drives. Offensively, the passing attack, after throwing for 222 yards in the first half, was only able to manage 45 yards in the second half. I mean, they only possessed the ball four times in the second half, and one of those possessions includes the four-play drive in the final 30 seconds of the game. So it was just really, in my opinion, it was a combination of a lot of different things going wrong. The defense not getting the stops when they needed them. I thought the defense played very well throughout the course of the game, but there were some moments there in the second half where they just needed to get off the field and they were not able to do so. And then when you combine that with the struggles that the offense had, they weren't able to put points on the board. They weren't able to, establish some good drives. This is what happens. Now, I thought another very critical moment in the game came in the third quarter. At the time, there was 8:59 left in the quarter, and the Raiders were leading 16-3. They had the ball on the Jacksonville 49-yard line. It was 4th-and-1, and I remember at the time yelling at the TV, "Go for it, go for it!" I was thinking it was they could put him away here at this point. And obviously, Gruden opted to punt the ball away. Now, obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but to me, again, that was an opportunity for them to kind of finish them off, go for the kill. I mean, I looked at it as, what do you have to lose? You're 6-7. The playoffs are highly unlikely at this point, although they have not been mathematically eliminated yet. It was still a long shot even last week, even if they were to win the game. You're playing your final game ever in Oakland. Let's be a little aggressive here. Let's play aggressive. You know, Gruden talked about it after the game. He said he didn't regret the decision. He said, you know, he stands by his decision, and I understand his logic. He thought that the Jaguars' offense had struggled badly in the first half. The defense was playing very well. I get it. But at the same time, an argument can be made, you know, for going for it. The same reasoning, the same logic that he used. The offense was playing great in the first half as well. They were moving the ball, 222 yards passing. You know, Jacobs wasn't going off, but we're talking 1 yard here. Let's be aggressive. You know, it's easy for me to sit here and say this. I understand that. But, you know, I did want him to go for it at the time. And then the next game-changing play that occurred in the half had to have been the missed call on the 2nd-and-9. Derek Carr kept the read option. He tucked it, ran around the outside, picked up 12 yards, clearly gave himself up inbounds. Somehow the referees saw it differently. Don't know how. Again, with all the technology that we have out there, somehow this call was not able to be corrected. I it was pretty funny. I saw a still picture of the play the other day. Someone posted it on Twitter. You know, Carr clearly down in bounds. And there were two refs standing right there. Not one, but two refs standing right there. And somehow that call was still blown. And it was a major play in the game. The clock stopped at 2:05. Gave the Jaguars a free timeout, basically. They didn't have to use their last timeout. Not that they would have anyways, because the clock would have ran to the two-minute warning. And to make matters worse, in all of the confusion that went on after the play, the Raiders get penalized for a delay of game. So now you're looking at 1st-and-15 rather than a 1st-and-10. And you know, things got worse. They decided to settle for a field goal. Daniel Carlson missed the first attempt from 50 yards, was given a second opportunity after running into the kicker was called. So now he's looking at a 45-yard field goal, and he misses that one too. So it was just a complete collapse. You know how the rest of the game went. I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to make you relive that. It was just a disaster. There's really no other way to describe it, and I'm not going to sit here and try to do that anymore. There are two other quick things I do want to mention about the game that I think need to be discussed. And that is obviously the fans and their reaction after the game, in particularly how they booed Derek Carr as he was walking off the field. And, you know, here are my two cents on it. I would not call myself a Carr apologist at all. I've made my feelings known about him, whether it was over social media or right here on this show. I think he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. I don't think he makes the people around him better. You know, I think there are many quarterbacks in the league who we've seen that can take a mediocre or even a bad group of wide receivers and still make it work. I've used the example of Russell Wilson many times. Now, I think his weapons are much improved this year, but if you think about who he's been throwing the ball to over the years, a lot of no-name receivers. And I think that he just makes it work. And I think he makes the team, you know, the players around him better. You know, look what Carson Wentz has been able to do the last couple weeks. You know, he doesn't have great weapons around him, and he's still finding ways to win games down the stretch. I don't think Derek Carr will ever be the guy that will lead this team to a Super Bowl or anything close to it. You know, maybe could he get them into the playoffs? Could he sneak him into a playoffs? Yeah, maybe. But I just don't think he is the long-term answer going forward. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't be there next year. I don't have that answer right now, but I just don't see him being the guy for the next couple of years at least. But that's a discussion for another day. I think after 6 years, we know what we're going to get from Derek Carr. I think we've seen the best of him, and I'm not quite sure if we'll ever, you know, get that level of Derek Carr again. And I'm talking about the 2016 Carr. That being said, I respect the heck out of the guy. He clearly puts everything he has into the game. You know, the struggles that he has had the last couple of years are clearly not from lack of effort or preparation. I just think it was the wrong move for the fans to boo him. I don't think it was deserved. I do understand the frustration of the fans as well. They pay a lot of money to go to these games. They invest a lot of time and energy. And I think, you know, the way the whole thing kind of unraveled at the end, it was just a major shocker to everyone. And obviously, I think the emotions really got the best of the fans. And I think they forget, you know, how easily they forget that just a couple minutes prior to the game being over, Carr made what was arguably the play of the game at the time, you know, the read option where he took it around the end. You know, that might have iced the game right there, that run, you know, had the referees not made that horrendous call. So, you know, I do think it really bothers Carr as well. That's another thing I want to mention. As much as he's, you know, not trying to let you know that, you know, I listen to all these press conferences. I've seen probably every press conference on Derek Carr's ever done. And when I look at him in this, the interviews that he did after the game and the interview that he did on Wednesday, to me, you can just see it in his body language, the tone of his voice. He's really playing it off as if he doesn't care, that this is nothing new. You know, this happens all the time with the fans, you know, when we lose, this is nothing different. But I'm telling you right now, it's eating him alive inside that he was booed off the field the last time he'll ever be on that field. I know it's eating him up inside. The final thing I want to talk about is the lack of second half adjustments. And that's just not happening in this game. We talked about the trend earlier. I gave you the number, 78-9. The Raiders are outscored in second half since week 12. Again, I don't have the answer. I don't know what's going on inside that locker room at halftime. But these adjustments are not being made. You hear people talking about it all the time, how important it is for coaches to be able to make second half adjustments. When your opponent is adjusting to the things that you're doing, you have to be able to counter those moves in the second half. And that is something that Gruden and his coaches have not been able to do recently. And you know, we see how the offense does well in the first half, or particularly the first drive, the opening drive with those scripted offensive drives, you know, things are going great. But when adjustments need to be made, things are falling apart for this team. So, you know, I'm really tired of hearing from Gruden, it's on me. You know, I got to do a better job. Don't, you know, he's trying to take all the blame, and I get it. But I'm sick and tired of it. You know, enough is enough. I want to see you make it happen, okay? Make it happen. All right, we're going to step aside real quick. When we return, we will discuss some of this week's headlines and what needs to happen for the Raiders to make the playoffs. Yes, that's right. The Raiders are still in the hunt. It's still a possibility. Don't go away.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Welcome back to Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. The first bit of news that I want to get to surrounds right tackle Trent Brown. I'll start with the bad news first. Brown was placed in IR this week. He's been dealing with an injured pectoral. His season is now going to be over. That injury was just not getting any better. And I think the coaches wisely and the trainers decided that it was time to shut him down. I think, you know, the team has invested in him for the long term. I think he's going to be a big part of this team going forward, and I just don't see the point of risking him, you know, further injury. Just shut him down and let him get healthy for next season. It was a tough season for Brown. He was battling injuries all season long. He was a staple on the weekly injury report. You would find him on there weekly. He played well when healthy, but could just never stay out of the training room. And he battled numerous injuries, most notably the knee and now this pectoral. So, you know, his season's over. The good news is he was selected to the Pro Bowl along with Rodney Hudson. The two offensive linemen were the lone players to make the roster for the AFC. However, there were a few alternates that were selected. Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, and Alec Ingold, as well as Richie Incognito. And they are all very well-deserving players, obviously, having great seasons. With Trent Brown headed to the IR, the Raiders did fill his roster spot on the 53 with a new linebacker who they signed off of practice squad. I think it was the Jets practice squad. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's name. When you see the name for yourself, you'll know why. It's not an easy one, and I'm not going to try to embarrass myself here by butchering that man's name. So go ahead and check it out. You know, this is more of a depth signing, maybe some special teams. I would not expect to see this guy getting many snaps at all. All right, the next order of business is talking about the Raiders' chances of making the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
I'm sorry. I had to do it. That classic clip there from Jim Mora when he was with the Colts. Yeah, that's probably what many of you are thinking when you hear me say Raiders in the playoffs. But, you know, it's for real. The Raiders are still mathematically, they have not been eliminated. And it seems like this team's got 9 lives. You know, it just seems like no matter what happens, this team continues to stay alive somehow. How is it possible that a team has been embarrassed the way they've been embarrassed these last 4 weeks and somehow they're still alive in the playoff hunt? It really goes to show you how weak the AFC is this year. I mean, really, it's just the conference is having a very down year, really. But anyhow, here are some of the scenarios that need to occur for this to happen. Starting this weekend in week 16, this is what needs to occur. First of all, the Raiders have to handle their own business. They have to win over the Chargers, which seems very likely. I mean, the Chargers are not playing well right now at all. Seems like it could happen. The Ravens need to win over the Browns. The Jets need to win over the Steelers. The Saints need a win over the Titans. And the Colts need a win over the Panthers. All very, very likely. I don't see any game there that I, you know, look at that scares me at all, in other words. Week 17, this is the scenario that needs to play out. The Raiders need to win over the Broncos. That game is going to be at Mile High. The next two for the Raiders are on the road. The Browns need to win over the Bengals. The Ravens, again, need to win, this time over the Steelers. The Texans need to beat the Titans, who they just beat last week, okay? And the Colts need to win over the Jaguars. Okay, so those are your scenarios in week 16 and 17 that need to occur. The funny thing is, to me, as bad as things have been, you know, for the Raiders these past 4 weeks, you know, during this four game meltdown. Again, you're going to call me crazy, but when I look at that schedule, I think it could actually happen. I don't think it will, but when I look at these matchups and the way it needs to play out, I just think it seems possible when you look at it on paper. Obviously, anything can happen when you play these games, but again, when I look at these matchups, I don't see a game that I look at and I say, oh, you know, forget it. That one, that's just not going to happen. I don't see a game. So, you know, these are the games that you're going to want to keep an eye on, definitely this weekend and hopefully into next weekend. You know, I'm just trying to have some fun with it. I hope that you guys try to as well. You know, it's been a tough stretch. You know, things were looking so promising at 6-4. I think this team was overachieving. Let's be honest. They were overachieving. And even during that three-game win streak, look at the teams they beat. They beat the Bengals by a touchdown. They beat the Lions on a last-second play. And they beat the Chargers on a last-second play. So they beat three real bad teams. But still, you know, we were feeling good about the team. They were sitting at 6-4. The playoffs were a possibility. But you know, things have totally, you know, fallen apart since then, but try to have some fun with it. Try to find some hope to latch on to. And you know, what I want to see is if this team can show some fight in these final two games. That's really what I'm looking for. And the fact of the matter is they're still technically into it. So again, let's try to enjoy it. Okay, in the final segment here, I'm going to take a look at the week 16 injury report and preview the matchup with the Chargers.
Blue 42, sit, hey!
All right, I've got the Friday injury report, the final injury report here going into Sunday's game. Not a whole lot going on as far as the Chargers are concerned. Two players, their game statuses are listed. Tackle Russell Okung with a groin injury, who was listed as doubtful. He has not participated in practice at all this week. Running back Justin Jackson, I think he's would be the third option after Melvin Gordon and Eckler. He's listed as questionable. He was limited all week. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Other than that, no one else really in question their status for the game. The Raiders, on the other hand, I already mentioned Trent Brown. He is going to be, his season's over, so he will not be available this week. It will probably be Brandon Parker again. I have not heard otherwise. Three players listed as out already. Big blows right here to the team here. Guard Richie Incognito, he is out with that ankle injury. He did not participate all week. He's out. It'll be Denzel Good filling in for him. We've actually seen Good play well this year. So, you know, while it's a big loss not to have Incognito out there, I do feel confident with Denzel Good filling in for him. Josh Jacobs also will be out. That shoulder just, you know, continues to nag him. And personally, I think he should be shut down. I thought they should have shut him down last week. I think it's foolish to be running him out there. This doesn't make sense. He is the centerpiece of this offense for years to come, and why risk further injury? Just shut it down, okay? So I'm actually happy that he's not playing, and I hope he doesn't play next week either. Whether there's a playoff, you know, berth on the line, I don't want to see that kid play anymore this year. And the last player that's listed as out is Markell Lee. So that was short-lived for him. He comes back, plays one game, and now he's out again with a different injury. This time it's a toe injury. So that guy just cannot stay healthy this year. But so those are the three Raiders who are listed as out. One other thing I do want to mention, Hunter Renfrow, it looks like he's going to play this week. He was limited Wednesday and Thursday, got a full practice in on Friday. So he should be active this week, which should... you know, give the receiving group a big bump Him and Derek Carr were doing some good things together prior to Renfro's rib and lung injury. So it'll be nice to see Renfro getting back out there, you know, getting some action. And finally, for a quick preview of Sunday's game, the Chargers are 7.5-point favorites right now. They have not played well themselves recently. They have lost 4 out of their last 5. And during that time span, Phillip Rivers has thrown 11 interceptions, which includes the 3 that he threw against the, you know, the Raiders the last time these two teams met. Another area where the Chargers have continued to struggle badly is in protecting Rivers. 14 times Rivers has been sacked. And again, that does include the 5 sacks against the Raiders just a few weeks ago. So I think, you know, the keys to the game are pretty similar to what we saw the last time. I think, you know, can the Raiders force Rivers into turning the ball over? That's going to be key. Can the pass rush get after Rivers, apply some pressure, force him into some bad decisions? We all know that Rivers is prone to making some bad decisions from time to time, and especially as of late. Melvin Gordon had a pretty big game last time, carrying the ball 22 times, 108 yards and a touchdown. And of course, you can't let Keenan Allen get loose. He was not a huge factor the first time around. I think Trayvon Mullen will have a huge test this week trying to keep Allen in check. Now, the big question for the offense is, where does the production come from? You know, no Josh Jacobs is a huge loss. You're going to have Denzel Good and Brandon Parker both starting on the offensive line. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, they're going to be licking their chops at the chance to go up against Parker. And that could potentially be a major issue in this game if he can't improve upon his game that he had last week, because it was not very good. This could be one of those games where I talked about how Carr needs to make players around him better. This could be a game where the offense is only going to go as far as Carr will take them. And it's not a very good matchup by the numbers. The Chargers' pass defense is one of the best in the league. They're ranked 4th, actually, giving up only 197 yards passing a game. I believe Derek Carr threw for 207 in the first meeting. And this is why I think it's crucial that the defense, you know, need to force some turnovers, needs to get after Carr, hopefully, you know, creating some more opportunities for the offense. Although the game is being played in Los Angeles, it will have the feel of a home game. Raider Nation travels well, so I would expect the place to be packed with silver and black. But I am going to make a prediction here, and although I do feel this is a winnable game, and you know, you heard me talking about how, you know, all the different scenarios that need to play out in order for you know, the Raiders to clinch a playoff berth. I feel like on paper, when you look at the matchups, I think it's something that I could see happening, but you know, if I'm going to give you a prediction here, you know, I want it to be a logical one. And I just don't think, you know, I think the injuries to the offensive line and the loss of Josh Jacobs will really be too much to overcome this week for the Raiders. I have the Chargers winning 28-17. All right, Raider Nation, it is time to wrap up this week's episode of Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. You can expect to hear from me next week, one last time in the 2019 season. I'll preview next week's game, the final game of the season. I want to thank everyone for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. And I do want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. And as always, just win, baby.